Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning to you. What a game. How are we feeling this morning?
Hey. How you doing? Good morning, everybody.
Excellent. Obviously, you're in Memphis. Despite a monster performance by Kyrie Irving, the Memphis Grizzlies still getting it done. No Ja Morant. Stephen A., what did last night say to you?
I got to tell you, before we even start the show, I got to tell you the Memphis Grizzlies are the real deal. There's no question about it. Without Ja Morant, they've now elevated their record to 15-2. Not a single player over the age of 28 has scored a single point for the Memphis Grizzlies this entire season. Anyone who's played and has scored for them is 28 years of age and under. Youth might be a factor as the playoffs get set, but there is no question about it. Whether it's Bane, whether it's this kid Melton, who I like a lot, obviously Jaren Jackson, who was on NBA Countdown with us yesterday, the list goes on and on. They've got the personnel and they've got the attitude. They're coming for everybody. And when I saw Bane at the end of the game, it broke my heart to hear him say we here, because we know who used to say that. Last year, it was them damn Knicks, but damn it, they didn't show up this year. That ain't the case with the Memphis Grizzlies. It doesn't appear as if it's going to be the case. So I just had to sit up there and start the show off by giving them major, major props for us to come down there to descend upon Memphis, Tennessee, where Graceland is, the home of Elvis with the billboards and all of this other stuff. Ja Morant and the crew, even though he wasn't playing, he's on the bench motivating them. They're on the court playing. They're putting the NBA on notice that they are a serious team to be reckoned with.
Absolutely.
And to answer the call like that last night, I got to give them major, major props. They made the trip worth the trip. I just want to give them their props. They deserve
Absolutely.
It. And Taylor Jenkins is a top three coach of the year, along with Monty Williams and Ime Udoka. Those are the top three coach of the year candidates in the National Basketball Association.
No question. Getting it done shorthanded. Stephen A., I mentioned Kyrie, though. He did have a big game in the loss. And I have some good news for him and all New York fans. Let's go there right now. So here's the deal. Sources tell ESPN that Mayor Adams will lift the city's COVID-19 vaccine mandate on athletes today in a news conference at Citi Field, paving the way for Nets star Kyrie Irving to play at the Barclays Center on Sunday and for unvaccinated Yankees and Mets players to play in their home openers. The Nets currently in eighth place in the Eastern Conference and subject to the play-in tournament. That begins April 12th. They would get Kyrie back, who's been out of their games 35 home games this season. Irving turned 30 on Wednesday and is averaging 27.7 points in 19 games this season.
Until it's official, I guess, will you not wrap your head around the domino effect that could create for you guys, essentially?
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to talk to you guys once this is, something's official.
Greatest birthday gift ever.
I appreciate y'all.
On a basic level, what would it mean to have him out there every night?
Man, you know the answer to that question. You see how he plays. Just turns our whole team around when he's out there, so... hopefully you get some good news.
All right, Brian Windhorst joining us now. Wendy, good to have you. Stephen A., I want to start with you, though, here. What's the significance of this decision coming today?
Well, I think that it's on several levels. If Kyrie Irving is available, I think the Brooklyn Nets could come out of the East. You can make an argument that they shouldn't be the favorite, and I certainly understand that. Because they've got a lot of glare, they've got a lot of holes to fill, and we understand that. But he is so spectacular as an offensive talent. And what he does to supplement what KD automatically brings to the table, come playoff action, I don't think you can summarily dismiss the notion that the Brooklyn Nets could come out of the East. Who can't they beat? Who can we definitively look at and say there's no way in hell they can beat? The answer would be no one, because they are the Brooklyn Nets. We're talking about KD and Kyrie here. Talk about like KD, who I believe to be best in the world at this particular moment in time. You're talking about Kyrie Irving, who has proven to be one of the most spectacular offensive talents we've ever seen in this game. When you look at the fact that Seth Curry is expected to be available, that Drummond can rebound for you, that guys like Claxton and Jones and all of that stuff with their activity, they can make some things happen because obviously they don't have to you don't have to rely on them offensively. You just have to rely on their effort. They certainly need to prove defensively, and we get all of that. But with Kyrie Irving in the lineup, they're the number one offense in the National Basketball Association. And dare I say, at times, when you watch the other teams, they have a problem scoring the basketball. So when you look at it from that perspective, that's what you peel from this. That's how major this decision is for Kyrie Irving. Did he deserve it? Quite frankly, as an individual, no. But the mandate was bogus. It had no business being in place. People were being bullied to capitulate to some of these mandate demands and all of that other stuff, which was a damn shame, and we all know it. Kyrie Irving should have been allowed to play in the Barclays Center. The second that visitors were allowed to come to the Barclays Center and play basketball, Kyrie Irving should have been allowed to play basketball. But we know this is because of the Yankees and who the Yankees are and what have you and how ridiculous and bogus this rule is. And I'm happy and proud that Mayor Eric Adams in New York City started reminding the world, assuming that he makes this decision, this is his administration. This is not the Bill de Blasio administration, the former mayor of New York City, who, by the way, is still making noise because they don't want the mandate lifted and all that stuff. The hell with all of that. They are not, it's not their administration anymore. It's Eric Adams' administration. And some of it appeared so nonsensical, Kyrie Irving should have been playing. But that doesn't mean he deserves to be deified and treated like he's a hero because of it, which is something I'll get into later. But in the end, I'm happy he's back. It's great for basketball. But more importantly, it's the fair thing to do. And the Brooklyn Nets are instantly a title contender with Kyrie's daily availability.
Yeah, I wouldn't have understood that the baseball lockout was going to affect the Eastern Conference playoffs, but Stephen A., that's what happened. Once baseball got settled and was coming back here, and there was a chance that a bunch of Yankees and Mets star players weren't going to be able to play under this rule, that was the wedge that drove the change in this rule. And like I said, like you said, we can go into all that, but what it really matters is that the rule was flawed from the start. So I will say this. When Kyrie Irving plays this year, the New Jersey or the Brooklyn Nets are one of the top five teams in the league. They are third in net rating on the road this year. Net rating is how you do per 100 possessions against your opponent. It goes Suns, Celtics, Nets when Kyrie is on the court. When Kyrie is not, when the Nets have been at home, they're 26th. Now, some of that's because they didn't have Durant for a while and some of those home games were awful. That skewed a little bit. So you can see they go from being a spoiler in the Eastern playoffs to potentially being the contender. And so this decision is as impactful as anything that's happened in the NBA this year. That said, they are a horrendous defensive team. At home, on the road, with Kyrie Irving, without Kyrie Irving, they're 23rd in defense. We saw that last night. They gave up 132 points to a Memphis team that didn't have their best player. Now, they're great without Ja Morant, but you can't give up 132 points and expect to win anything of value. And that's why, with Kyrie Irving this year, he's played in 20 games. The Nets' record in those 20 games is 8-12. And you can bring up the point that Durant was missing a lot of those games, and there was games he played with Harden.
Yes, he was.
Harden was in shutdown mode. So you know, I'm not saying that 8-12 record is the be-all, end-all, but it is an indication that this is not a panacea. They're going to have to figure out a way to get some stops. But I'll tell you what, Stephen A., if I'm the Miami Heat or the Milwaukee Bucks, and I've worked hard for 5-6 months to get the number one or number two seed, and I wake up this morning and see that I might be facing the Brooklyn Nets in the first round, I would not be pleased about this development.
Well, listen, let me say this. Of course, it's not a panacea, and we get all of that, but here's the reality of the situation. When you look at the Brooklyn Nets and you think about transitioning Wendy from a regular season game to a best of seven playoff series where you have two experienced dudes who are individual offensive juggernauts, who both happen to be champions, then the question is, can they make the necessary adjustments? You're damn right they could. And when I think about the Brooklyn Nets, here's what I think about. No matter what their situation is now, it was worse last year. I'm talking about if all bodies available. When you consider the fact that James Harden's hamstring was jacked up, and you combine that with the fact that Kyrie Irving had messed up his ankle, and KD was essentially by himself, and they still pushed it to a seventh game. He dropped 49 instead of the 50 I predicted he would get in game 5. We knew they were going to lose game 6 at Milwaukee. And then they came back game 7 at the Barclays Center. And obviously, KD couldn't close because he had a size 13 instead of a 12 and a half or 12 and three quarter shoes, okay? That's really what it comes down. Probably his toenail got in the way, for crying out loud. That's what prevented them from going to the conference finals. So we got to look at it from that perspective and ask ourselves, well, if Kyrie was available, what would be the case? I'm telling you right now, Kyrie good for 27 a night. Kyrie's good for 27 a night. We know KD is good for 27 a night. We know their offense is going to be prolific, and you're not blowing them out. They're going to be in every game, particularly against an Eastern Conference foe. So now it comes down to moments. Who do you believe can close? When you look at Miami, are you sure? When you look at Milwaukee, I love Chris Middleton. I love Jrue Holiday. I love their chemistry and cohesiveness. But in a tight, thrilling game, down to the wire, do I have faith that any of them got closers like KD and Kyrie? That answer would be hell no. No, 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 no. And so I look at it from that perspective, and I say that's where you got to give it. But again, as we're tackling this subject, Wendy, let's be responsible here. And I'll share with you, reiterating what I said to Mad Dog Russo and Molly yesterday. I took the liberty and put Wendy up on a split screen because I want to look at Wendy when I say this. I took the liberty, Wendy, of speaking to a couple of Hall of Famers who I happen to know are huge, huge Kyrie fans. I mean, I don't know if you noticed, Wendy. I mean, if we utter a syllable against Kyrie Irving, we're haters. We're haters, Katie. We don't appreciate him at all. I mean, God forbid we just call it like we see it, okay? Well, they love Kyrie Irving, and they're Hall of Famers and champions. And I asked a simple question. And then I spoke to a future Hall of Famer who's still playing as a superstar in the game today, yesterday, because I asked him the same question, all three of them. And I said, if Kyrie Irving were your teammate, was your teammate, and all of y'all were vaccinated, and he wasn't, what would you have done? This is a quote from the Hall of Famers. We'd have snatched him. We'd have tied his ass up if we had to. He'd have got that shot if we had to give it to him our damn selves. He might have been ticked off at us. He might have been pissed. Wouldn't want to talk to us all season long. You know what I'm saying? But he would have been available. That's what they said. And I asked the future Hall of Famer the same question, and he gave the same answer. So in other words, y'all would have made sure he got that vaccine shot. You wouldn't have liked it, but you'd have said, we got a chip that we going for. And while we're sitting here talking about Kyrie Irving, and we are absolutely ecstatic that the mandate has been lifted so we can watch this magnificent talent put his excellence on display, the reality of the situation that cannot be escaped is that with a championship on the line, okay, a championship season on the line, he sat up there and said, yo, y'all on your own. This is what I'm doing. It was about him. It wasn't about the team.
Yeah.
And thank God the mandate was lifted. But it don't make him some damn hero.
Yeah, let me get in here.
I just want to make sure I said that.
Stephen A., on that note, and Wendy, I want to come to you. Right now, they would play Toronto in the 7-8. So what would that mean, Wendy?
Well, it would mean that Kyrie couldn't even get into the country of Canada right now. In that situation, they would, you know, have to play without him. But I have to say a couple of things about that. One, the Nets only have to win one of the two play-in games. So even if they had to play in Toronto in an 8-7 matchup and they lost that game, then they'd come play at home against Charlotte or Atlanta, and they're probably winning that. So I'm penciling them in to make it through the play-in one way or the other. The second thing is it might not be Toronto. If Toronto wins against Cleveland tonight at home, they're tied for the sixth seed. Also, the Bulls' schedule is brutal, and the Bulls keep getting pounded by the better teams in the league who they got to play. The Bulls could end up being back there in the seven. So I wouldn't worry too much about that from the Nets. What I would say about Kyrie is, Stephen A., after the trade, after the Harden trade, I called around to some of the coaches and executives in the Eastern Conference, and I said, boy, you can't be happy about this because you had two teams that were messed up, Philly and Brooklyn. Now they make this trade, and they're both going to be better off for it and contenders for you in the East. And I was surprised what I heard. I heard, you know what? I would rather have that than have that beast that would have been Harding, Irving, and Durant playing together, because I don't think we could have ever beaten that team. I'll take our chances with Brooklyn the way they're constructed and Philly the way they're constructed. And so the fallout of the way Kyrie has handled this season is that it drove a wedge in between he and Durant and Harden. Harden was just, you know, I was around the Nets early this season. They were in a good place as a team before they brought Kyrie back part-time. And after that happened, it went straight downhill with Harden. So the legacy of this season may end up being that they never got to see what this super team would have become. That it really had the potential to be like the Miami Heat, that could have gone to three or four finals in a row, that could have gotten multiple championships. And hey, listen, maybe if you're a Nets fan, you believe Ben Simmons gets healthy and that's what happens and that you can do that. But with the loss of the way Kyrie has elected to go about this year is the loss of that big three.
To me, with all of that being said, if Ben Simmons, I'm talking about, he don't have to shoot a jump shot at all. All he has to do is make a couple of layups, okay? And he could still shoot 33% from the free throw line. If Ben Simmons got on the floor and defends the way he's capable of defending, okay, the Brooklyn Nets win the championship. The Brooklyn Nets win the championship. I mean, so, again, not him without Kyrie. Kyrie has to be there doing what Kyrie does. So we got to hope he's available. We got to hope that there's no, that we don't find another reason for him to miss games. The playoffs are coming up, so likelihood is he's not going to miss games because he doesn't prioritize the regular season. It's about the playoffs for Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving wants to work 2 months out of the year. That's really what this all comes down to, okay? He will be ready for the playoffs. If Kyrie's ready for the playoffs, which he will be, and KD's ready for the playoffs, which he will be, I believe in Seth Curry. I believe in Andre Drummond. And I'm not talking about Andre Drummond doing what he does. Seth Curry doing what he does. And, of course, KD and Kyrie doing what they do. The way Miami is looking right now, that would be a problem. And Milwaukee, that's everybody's favorite in the Eastern Conference because of their cohesiveness, their chemistry, how they play together, their selflessness, their commitment to playing on both ends of the floor, not just offensively. We get all of that. I just watched KD against Giannis and the crew. There is no answer for this man. There is no answer. And that is why I feel the way that I feel about the Brooklyn Nets.
Absolutely.
There's no answer for Kevin Durant.
But, Wendy, to your point earlier, it's the most dominant offense, essentially, that never was. And, Stephen A., the Ben Simmons, I'm glad you brought him up. We need to dive into that angle a little bit further when Wendy comes back in just a bit. But, gentlemen, we had some major news in the NFL I want to get to now. What an offseason. The NFL not slowing down one bit. Miami and Kansas City making moves, acquiring wide receiver Tyreek Hill. The sides agree to a $120 million deal. In return for the six-time Pro Bowl receiver, the Chiefs will receive five draft picks from Miami. Hill's contract includes $72 million guaranteed. Agent Drew Rosenhaus told ESPN, making him the highest paid wide receiver in NFL history. This Dolphins team going all in for Tua. Hill pairs with Jalen Waddle to create one of the fastest receiver duos in the NFL, in addition to two new running backs coming over from the NFC West. We now bring in Lewis Riddick. Lewis, good morning to you. There he is, dapper as always. Lewis, I'll start with you. Do you think Tua's going to prove doubters wrong now that he has all these weapons beside him?
Yeah, Molly, I think a lot of things have to break his way in order for him to, you know, in essence, prove that he was worthy of being picked where he was picked, and he's worthy of being someone that Miami continues to invest in long term. And by that, I mean this. Look, first of all, they have a rookie head coach in Mike McDaniel. He has to prove that everything that everyone is saying about him as far as his contribution to San Francisco's offense, you know, under Kyle Shanahan, is valid, and that he can take all of these pieces coming from different places and construct an offense that is going to support Tua Tagovailoa. Because we know that, look, Tua is not the kind of guy that's really a quote-unquote force multiplier type of quarterback that's going to make everyone else better. It's always going to be about what is around him and how it can then support him. So he has to prove he can be able to do that. The people that they brought in have to prove that they can stay healthy. Teron Armstead has to stay healthy. A guy like Raheem Mostert, who we know when he was with San Francisco with Mike McDaniel, has to prove that he can stay healthy. These guys have to stay on the football field for Tua. Jaylen Waddle has to stay on the football field. Tyreek has to stay on the football field. If that can happen, now it's about whether or not, you know, they can get these guys all humming along together at the same time on the field, and whether Tua can really get the ball to them and let them catch and run and produce explosive plays, which I think he will be able to do. If you think of San Francisco's offense and really what it was last year, where Jimmy Garoppolo was really, it was second in the league in yards per attempt. Think about that. It wasn't because he was throwing the football down the field. It was because Deebo Samuel was number one in the NFL among wide receivers in yards after catch. It was those inside breaking routes, catch and run, take off and just explode and make things happen. Tua can do that. The wide receivers that he has, theoretically, in Jalen and Tyreek and Cedric Wilson, can do that. The question is, can they stay on the football field and can they get that kind of thing done? Don't expect to see Tua bombing away. All of a sudden now his yards per attempt are up around 8.5, 9. It's going to stay probably around 7, 7.5, unless these guys can really produce the way that they have produced at their previous stops. I'm a believer in Tua. I always have been. I don't know Mike McDaniel. I believe, though, he comes from a system and his training and his pedigree in the NFL is one that is top-notch and has led to offenses being very, very productive. And there's no question they have a lot of speed here. But there's a lot of things that have to break the right way in order for this offense to take the next step. And I'm just hoping that people evaluate Tua in that context and not just go, well, this is pass or fail for Tua. If they don't make the playoffs, if he doesn't throw for 4,000 yards and his yards per attempt aren't up there around 8, then it's a fail. No, there's a lot of things that have to happen, but there's no question that Tua has a lot of responsibility for this. I think he's up to the task.
I mean, damn, Mr. Chippendales, you got a whole bunch of ifs in that diatribe you just put out there, that little soliloquy. I mean, there's about 15 ifs up in there, man. I mean, come on, man. Come on, Lewis Riddick. I mean, you can. How many ifs did you go throw out there? I mean, the answer's no, okay? The answer's no, all right? That's really what it comes down to. I'll get direct for the view. You know good and damn well this is the problem. And here's what the problem is right here. I love Tua, the person. Mm-hmm. I went down to visit mm-hmm. them at Alabama. I was a huge fan of his when he was at Alabama. I wish him nothing but the best. But that miniature size mm-hmm. that he brings behind center is an impediment to his success. That is the bottom line. The man didn't even throw for 3,000 yards. He threw for 2,600 yards. Yeah, he's completing about 66% of his passes because he's throwing the ball 2 or 3 yards at a time. He rarely, if ever, throws the damn ball downfield. Poor Jaylen Waddle, even though he's had 1,000-yard receiving, probably would have had 1,500 yards receiving if somebody like a Justin Herbert or a Joe Burrow or even a Derek Carr was his damn quarterback. That's the situation here. And this is the part that I'm shocked. I'm actually shocked that Lewis Riddick, the football aficionado, the brilliant football mind that you are, I'm shocked that you didn't bring this up. You know good and damn well what this is about. This is about the Miami Dolphins trying to justify the pick they made. They're holding on for dear life. They had the fifth pick. They went with Tua. The sixth pick was Justin Herbert. They passed up on them. And the reason I'm bringing that up, because you know how teams can be. Some teams like Seattle can pay a cat millions upon millions of dollars. Russell Wilson could come in there, show out a training camp, and they like, the hell with that. This is the direction that we're going in, which is what they did years ago, 10 years ago or so, when they had Russell Wilson. But rarely do you see teams do that. What they usually do is they try to double down on showing how brilliant they were, how they made the right decision. We can make this work. And that's what this is about in Miami right now. This is about surrounding Tua with the weapons to try and make Will Tua look good. But he might not be the guy.
But that's what you're supposed to do anyway, Stephen A. So what, you're saying this? You're saying,
yes,
well,
but
if,
at this late
if
stage?
Was, if he, but wait, what did they do in Kansas City for Patrick? They tried to surround him with weapons.
What do you mean, what did they do?
Just that they hit on their guy.
I understand
in Kansas City.
Oh, my God, you're using that analogy?
GM has to do. Stephen A., that's what every GM has to do. That's what every GM is charged to do. Get
I'm
weapons.
Not denying
it's
that.
A team sport, man. They can't throw it to themselves. What did Bill Belichick do for Tom Brady when he got Randy Moss? Hear me out with this.
Go ahead.
This is what you do. You try to surround your quarterback with weapons in order to help him become more efficient, more productive, and help the team win football games. I don't think they're trying to just say, hey, look, you know what? Man, we got to go for broke here and just sell out and make sure that we have everything in place because we want to prove
to the world.
That's
not the only thing you do.
They win games, man. They win games.
That's the only thing you do?
Man. I mean, that's what they got to do.
Can I get
the
in?
Defense
I hear you.
Set. But I hear you.
Can I get at you?
You're not letting me finish my point, though. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. You want to go? Please go.
Here's the deal, Lewis. Yes, that's what they do. That ain't the only thing that they do. See, Lewis Riddick, being, the brilliant football mind that you are, who should be a damn general manager or VP for football operations, by the way. Yes, that's something you would do. You would look at the personnel that you have, and you would try to surround your quarterback with the best weapons imaginable to ensure his success. I'm not denying that. What I'm saying is that third eye would also kick in. You would watch what he's doing behind center. You would take into account the 2 years of evidence he's provided to you, and you would deduce, hey, this might not work. Even if we get this guy, and that guy, this guy True. Right here might not be the answer. You would make that call too. It ain't just about getting him better talent. It's about evaluating his talent and saying on this level, the NFL level, durability is a question. Mobility is a question because suddenly he don't look as fast as he looked at Alabama. Okay, and by the way, you know what? Timing is everything. Timing routes because he can't see over the damn line of scrimmage. So you know what? We call him plays and his ability to audible, to make adjustments, to extend plays may not necessarily be there, which drastically limits our passing efficiency. All of those things come into play for an executive mind like Lewis Riddick. You can't deny that.
I'm not going to deny that. Two things can be true. You're right. Naturally, your subjective evaluation will say, hey, look, there's some things now that two of this you're going to have to step it up with for sure. And look, we all know that injury sometimes is not something that you can control. Getting hit in certain ways that compromises your body and your ability to stay on the football field is not something you can control. So we understand you're going to do everything you can to stay available first and foremost. But as far as decision-making, poise, throwing the football with increased velocity, doing whatever it is that you need to do in order to make sure that you can get the ball and attack all areas of the field horizontally and vertically, you have to make sure you're doing this offseason. And when we get into OTAs, mini camp, training camp, preseason, to the regular season, you have to show that you have worked on all these things. All these things start to stack on one another, and that you are then, as long as we do our job, you are then making the progression and rather making the advances in your game that are necessary in order for us to say, okay, we can ride with you long term past 2022. There's no question he has to live up to his end of the bargain. Because if not, they are definitely setting the table for either Tua to go ahead and kind of orchestrate this offense or someone else down the road, whether that be Teddy Bridgewater this year or some other quarterback in 2023. There's no question about that. They'll be evaluating it all. All I'm saying, though, is everything that really will lead to his success this year is not just dependent upon him taking care of his business. A lot of other things need to fall into place, too.
I agree with that, Molly. I would say this. A, they got a new coach, new system, so we're going to see what that materializes into. Yeah. Number two, Tua's going to have to take chances because a lot of times Patrick Mahomes just threw the ball up there, and guess what? Tyreek Hill is going to find a way to go get it. Tua's going to have to be willing to be a bit risky in that regard as well. Yeah. That's number two. And number three, I want to say that Louis Riddick actually somewhat redeemed himself. I was about to nickname him Louis If Riddick. You understand? If Riddick. That's what I was going to try to say. Louis If Riddick. If was going to be his middle name. Yeah. There were too many damn ifs in his initial soliloquy, but he came back down to earth. Way to go. Way to go.
All I know is there was no Sweet Lou today. He was coming in hot. I just want to say this really quickly, guys. Miami hasn't been top 10 in offense in nearly 30 years. That's the longest drought in the NFL, clearly wanting to get this offense together. And now they really need to be able to contend with the Bills, right? The Patriots aren't necessarily the dominant team there anymore. But you got to keep up with Buffalo. Tough sledding there. All right, Lou will
be
back.
By the way, Molly.
Yes, sir.
Because of what you just said, Molly.
Yes.
Think about that. They really haven't been top 10 since Dan Marino. Who looks a little bit like Dan Marino?
That's a long time.
The guy they passed up on in Justin Herbert to draft Tua Tagovailoa. Go figure.
Exactly. The exact year, I think, was 95. Mm-hmm.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right. The shorthanded Heat lost to the Warriors team, their fourth loss in their past seven games. Both the Bucks and Sixers are now just a game and a half back in the top spot in the East. Here's Eric Spoelstra.
I was wondering where the dinner plans were tonight after the game. It was pretty clear. Like, we have a very competitive, gnarly group, and we're getting our asses kicked, and it's two straight games. We were not playing to the level that we wanted to play. And I would say virtually every single person in that huddle was pretty animated about, our disappointment and how we were playing.
All right, Wendy back here with us. Wendy, you saw that Heat scuffle. Big deal?
Well, you know, Stephen A. and I used to have the same discussion. We're going to go to Prime 112 after the game down in Miami, Stephen A., or Prime Italian? I was always a Prime Italian guy. Stephen A. always wanted to go across the street. I could write a novella about what
Prime
went down in this huddle last night. It was amazing, okay? So we got four losses in seven games. They just lost to the 76ers without Harden and Embiid, so they're already in a bad mood. Now they're giving up a huge run in the third quarter of this game. They've already heard that Kyrie is going to get cleared to play, so it's not going good. They're going to lose to the Warriors without Klay, Draymond, and Steph. Jimmy Butler has a weak closeout on defense, gives up a three-pointer. Spo calls timeout, sits down in the huddle, looks at Jimmy Butler. Jimmy says something to him, and Spo says, "What, are you trying? You want to fight me?" That triggers Udonis Haslam, who's always going to have Eric Spoelstra's back, and he threatens to kick Jimmy Butler's behind. Now listen, over the last 19 years, Udonis Haslam has threatened hundreds of people to kick their behind. There are clubs in Miami that the way you get on the list is by Udonis Haslam having offered to kick your butt. So you got Haslam and Jimmy Butler trying to now be separated. Then Kyle Lowry, who's seen a lot of stuff in his career and knows that this is just March and none of this really matters until April, May, June, he says, "I'm out of here." Spoelstra realizes this is actually a great moment that he could fire up his team because he hates the way how lazy that they're being on defense. So he extends it, smashes down a clipboard, and goes to confront Butler about it. But I know Spo, and I know in the back of his head he's really just trying to fire him up. And it works against Jimmy Butler because Jimmy Butler is at his best when he's in confrontation. He loves to create conflict if it isn't already there. So Spo's doing what he does. Butler's doing what he does. Then in my favorite moment in the whole scuffle, Kyle Lowry calls a timeout in the middle of a timeout, gets in between Butler and Spo and says, "Timeout, timeout." But Kyle, you're already in timeout. Stephen A., it was just a classic moment for the Miami Heat. And guess what? Saturday, they get to welcome the Brooklyn Nets with Kyrie and Durant, the team they may end up playing in the first round of the playoffs, in a great moment to have a bounce back performance. I think all of this ends up helping them in the medium term.
Well, I get where you're coming from, and I appreciate the breakdown. And here's the deal. I'm not sure the Heat would want Brooklyn in the first round personally. I know they defend, and I know they can beat anybody. But as Miami has shown you, they could also lose to anybody. So let's get that out the way. As an aside, I want to personally apologize to Carl Anthony Towns because Miami's lost three of the last five. And one of the first losses was to the Minnesota Timberwolves. I got on Carl Anthony Towns a little bit, who is class personified and a good guy. I thought he was a little classless against Russell Westbrook the other day because Russell Westbrook's just going through what he's going through, even though he had a good game last night. Here's the deal. Carl Anthony Towns doing that to everybody right now. I'm watching Carl Anthony Towns, and it don't matter who he's going against. He's in cat's face letting them know he's here. So, okay, I hear where you're coming from. I see that it's working for you. The hell with what Stephen A. had to say. You were right, Carl Anthony Towns. Now let me get back to Miami. This is why the Miami Heat are first class. Wendy, I spoke to about three people last night within the Heat organization. Not a single one of them gave me the details. But they didn't avoid the issue either. You see how they handle it? They should give lessons on how to handle a situation, Molly, Wendy. Wendy knows exactly what I'm talking about. Eric Spoelstra didn't duck the question. Eric Spoelstra didn't duck the issue. He just didn't give you the minute details of what transpiring because he's not going to betray any trust. But they didn't evade the issue. They didn't say no comment or anything like that. Kyle Lowry spoke on the issue. Eric Spoelstra spoke on the issue. I'm sure Jimmy Butler will speak on the issue. Udonis Haslem is Udonis Haslem. It's a reason why he's on the bench and he's been in the league for 20 years. He's a consummate professional. He always put in his work. He never, ever cheated the game. And more importantly, from a player's perspective, he personifies and epitomizes what the Miami Heat culture is all about, what it's supposed to be about, what it will continue to be about long after Jimmy Butler or anybody else is gone. And I'm not saying that to throw any shade on Jimmy Butler, because as far as I'm concerned, it was a bit overblown, to be quite honest with you. We all know what a rough rider Jimmy Butler is. We also know he's an acquired taste. There might not have been any reason to act that way, but it's Spoelstra and it's Haslam, and it's worked for them all of these years. So why the hell should they deviate from that when their culture is one of the greatest cultures in the history of the sport? We all know that, and I just applauded them because nobody ran from the issue. They just didn't give us the minute details. The professionalism that they bring to the table is just something to admire and behold. Having said all of that, the bottom line is this. The Miami Heat are good enough to go to the finals and bad enough to get their asses bounced in the first round. You don't know what you're going to get from them. And so because of that, the fervor that Eric Spoelstra exhibited, Wendy, is also tinged with nervousness because he knows we could go to the finals or we could go home in the first round. He knows we could lose. Think about it. If the 7th and 8th seed truly ends up being Brooklyn or Toronto, Miami will face one of them. And both of those teams could beat Miami if they show up and Miami does not. Spoelstra knows that. And he knows that all of this effort to get the number one seed and what have you, all of it would be for naught because these brothers ain't ready. So he's justified in it. Yeah. And we haven't seen Eric Spoelstra get at anybody like that. But guess what? What you saw last night is who Eric Spoelstra is internally. He is that fiery. He is that passionate. He is that focused. He is that detailed oriented. He is that much of a perfectionist. He does care that much. He never, ever, ever cheats the game of basketball and never sits idly by and watches one of his players do the same. This is why with all of those options that Pat Riley had, he gave the head coaching job years ago to a former video coordinator who has proven to be one of the great, great coaches in the game today. That is who Eric Spoelstra is. I had no problem with what I saw last night. I loved it. I absolutely loved it from everybody.
And I would say the Heat at the end of a stretch where they played 11 out of 12 games at home. Mm. And they got healthy. They're back to 100% after being banged up all year long. We were expecting them to use this stretch at home to solidify the number one spot and start their momentum ramp up into the postseason. And that has not happened. They lost to the Suns at home without Chris Paul. Then they lost to the Wolves. And by the way, as an aside for your Karl-Anthony Towns, while you're praising him, he did give up a career-high 35 last night to DeAndre Ayton at home. And there was no shocking at the end of that game by the Wolves. But that's having true. Said that, then they lose, as I said, in Philly without Harden and Embiid, and then this one. And now they're facing a situation where they don't have the number one seed under great hold anymore. So part of this, I think, is Spo sniffing out that the team needs kind of to brawl internally to get them back where they needed to be on schedule. Because you are right, Stephen A. There has never been, in my 20 years covering the NBA, it has never been harder to win the Eastern Conference, to win 12 playoff games, you're the Brooklyn Nets, 13. To win 13 games or 12 games in the East this year is going to be harder than ever, and the Heat aren't going to be able to do it with the way they've been playing the last couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Bucks and Sixers nipping at their heels, two games out. Yeah, go ahead.
Last word. Let's put it in perspective. If the Miami Heat right now, as presently constructed, started the playoffs— They would have to play Brooklyn in the first round, quite possibly Boston in the second round, and then Milwaukee in the conference finals.
Yeah. Yep. Tough, tough for sure. No. Wendy will be back with us. Speaking of Boston, though, I want to get to some quick takes now. Stephen A., let's get it. About last night, the Celtics destroyed the Jazz by 28 points for their fifth straight win. How does that Tatum-Brown tandem look now?
Well, first of all, it looks great, but people weren't wrong in speculating as to whether or not these dudes should have been separated at the beginning of the season. They weren't playing together. There were huge question marks as to whether or not they were willing to coexist. We knew they had the talent. The question was about the temperament. But credit to them for getting together and getting things together. And now they look like the best team in the Eastern Conference.
No question. Well, relationships ebb and flow, and now they're flowing. Stephen A., T-Wolf sons Karl-Anthony Towns, Jay Crowder get into it after a disrespectful poster dunk by Kat. Then Devin Booker wrapped up the Suns' win with a dunk of his own. Stephen A., which one did you like better?
Devin Booker. And you know why I like Devin Booker? Because A, it was a more challenging dunk to some degree because Karl-Anthony Towns is significantly taller than Crowder. But two, and more importantly, ladies and gentlemen, Devin Booker is a legitimate MVP candidate.
For sure.
The Phoenix Suns are the best team in basketball. They've been around the last 16 games or so without Chris Paul. And Devin Booker is a star in this game who just finished in the NBA Finals. He is an MVP candidate, and we need to stand up and take notice.
No question. Pulled up from 30 to close it out, too. Stephen A., after the Lakers lost to the Sixers without LeBron, Russell Westbrook called Sunday's game against the Pelicans a must-win. L.A. just a half game back on New Orleans for ninth. Your reaction?
I think so. Here's why. Because it's entirely possible that the Lakers could end up playing the Pelicans in the postseason. And the last thing you want them to do is to continue to gain even more confidence, especially with the slight possibility that Zion Williamson could be back. And, of course, Ingram and those guys. Let me tell you something. If I had to go and look at New Orleans fully loaded against the Lakers, I'm not sure I would pick the Los Angeles Lakers, especially if they had to go to New Orleans for that play-in game. They would be in a world of trouble in that matchup.
No question.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.